Well, greet you all in the name of Jesus this morning. He is the one who gives us hope. And thank you, Lyle, for your devotional this morning. I was out to see the eclipse, and I really enjoyed it, and I thought about many different things in relation to the eclipse, and thought about maybe bringing a message on God's beautiful creation and the order, being able to predict it 20 years in advance, and how the moon is positioned perfectly with the earth to make that all happen and work, and it only comes around about every 20 years just because of the way everything rotates. And what if God actually set the moon to rotate on a 24-hour cycle and it were closer to the earth and our tides were higher, and there's a lot of different things that you could think about. But it was inspiring to see it, and like Lyle said, being at 90% versus 100% is 100% different. Someone told me that, and it's true. So that's all I'm going to say about the eclipse this morning. For this morning's message, I would like to start by reading a section of Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, we're going to start at verse 10. And this is kind of breaking into the middle of the thought here in the book of Hebrews, but this brings out the verses that I want to use this morning. Verse 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So reading through this passage here, there are a number of things that stood out to me. But the main thing is that Jesus is our only hope. He is the only one that provides salvation. There is no other way to be promised eternal life. There's no other way to make it to heaven than to have Jesus as our hope. Another thing that is very interesting to me is a thought about this passage. It talks about God, he made a promise, but then he confirmed it with an oath. And because there's nothing bigger than God, he couldn't say, well, I'm going to swear by fill in the blank. He had to use himself as a thing. And we talk about something that's 110%. And we know that there isn't such a thing as something that's going to happen 110%. If you give it 100%, that's the maximum. You've given it everything. You don't give it 110. But we could say in this case that God's promise is 110%. It's guaranteed to happen, so guaranteed that it's beyond 100%. And I don't know if we can wrap our minds around that. I just thought of that expression that we use from time to time. And then I was thinking also the verses that kind of stood out to me, a couple other thoughts here. In verses 11 and 12, it says, "We desire that every one of you show diligence, and we have full assurance of hope unto the end. And this hope is what gives us this diligence, that we're not slothful, but followers them who by faith and patience inherit the promise." And then we also have here in verse 19, one other little thought, and that which entereth into that within the veil. And that is basically saying the veil was rent from top to bottom, and now we can go straight into God, and he is our hope, and we don't have to go through a pope, we don't have to go to a priest, we don't have anyone else that needs to intercede for us. I don't need to do that for you, you don't need to do that for me. So the title for this morning's message is Hope is an Anchor. This was assigned as a topic at Calvary for me about 6 months ago, and I felt led to share it here as a message this morning. I think maybe one or two of you were there. I think Roscoe and Austin may have been there, but in any case, hopefully you can be re-inspired with hope as an anchor. And we think about every one of us has been on a boat at some point. And one of the things about boats, at least that I'm very much aware of, I have a little bit of issue with vertigo since I've had my accident with my bicycle a number of years ago. But a boat is not solid. It's constantly rocking and moving, and you're up and down and side to side. And it's not just up and down. It's every axis that there is, basically. And nothing feels stable. And even in calm waters, if you are in a small boat, a little canoe or something, if you lean over, it's going to tip to the one side, and it may even tip over. And I don't know if you remember the boat that was down there in, I believe it was either North or South Carolina, that had cars that were loaded on it, and it ended up flipping. It was a huge boat, but it ended up flipping when it made the one turn, and it took years for them to cut the thing apart and get it cleaned up. That's beside the point. But the point is, when you're on a boat, everything is rocking, everything is moving, and you need some stability. So when we're on rough seas, of course, a little bit bigger boat is a little bit better than a small boat, and maybe that's why we have a church and we're not just out here rowing our own little canoe. And there's some thoughts that you could think about in relation to that. Whether you're at a small church that has four members, that would be a problem. I really enjoy and love our congregation here. 10 families seems fairly small sometimes, and other times it seems fairly large. But I'm very happy, or I said 10 families, what is it, 11 or 12? But having other people gives us stability and gives us something to kind of lean on at times when we're struggling. And I thought about this, the reason for this message. I guess I just purchased a property this week, and nervous and excited all at the same time, and I think some of the rest of you can identify with that. I told one of my employees, I said, it feels like I'm going on a first date, and they didn't understand that at all, but I said, I'm excited and nervous at the same time. So I guess there are other times that we get excited and nervous, but that's kind of beside the point. But right now, it seems like there are a lot of things that are changing in our life. We're changing our house. We're changing, in my case, I'm changing my job, and some of the rest of you are doing the same thing. And we've changed to a new worship place of worship here. We're looking at starting a new school, and everything's new and everything's different, and nothing feels settled. And that could be a real problem for us unless we have an anchor. And that's kind of the reason for the message this morning. It feels like our lives are kind of bobbing up and down, and some days I feel like I've about got the thing leveled out, and then it tips a little bit. So anyway, but we have one anchor, and the anchor is Jesus. And I want to just turn back here a few pages to Hebrews 13 verses 8 and 9 before we get started. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our anchor. And be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. And then we go on from there. But that was my point, is Jesus is the same. He is the one constant. And we can think of hope as an anchor. We can think of Jesus as an anchor. There's many different ways to think about this. But when we're not at a dock, the only way to keep our ship from drifting is to have an anchor. Whether it's a little tiny boat or it's a great big boat, there's enough things going on. We have the currents in the water there's actually very much like there is in the sky. There's a jet stream in the sky that's constantly moving from west to east. And in the ocean, there are also currents that pull boats one way or another. And there, of course, are the wind and the tides and all the different things that are causing the boat to move. And I'm not a boat owner, and I'd never cast an anchor, so I'm talking about something I know very little about. How many of you have cast an anchor? I'm just curious. I figured a few of you. So one of the interesting things is that there are many different anchors. You can have, depending on what kind of soil or whatever is underneath your boat, if it's a rocky area, you're probably going to use something. A grapnel is one of the versions that you can have, but then there's fluke anchors, there's delta anchor, plow anchors. These are all made for mud and sand mostly to hold the boat down. But Jesus is the one that provides us our hope, and hope can be our anchor. And the little bit that I know and read about setting an anchor is that you, first of all, you drop your anchor, and then you let out enough rope or enough chain that you can have it. You're not going to pull straight up on her. It's just going to pull back up out of the ground. You need to have a little bit of a curve. And I was tempted to use the whiteboard again, but you would all think that that's all I know how to do. So, but with a boat, especially a larger boat, they let out a fairly long amount of chain to hold the boat there, and the chain does some of the holding, which we'll get to that here in a little bit. But then once you have some left out, then you take your boat and you just keep backing up just a little bit, and that sets the anchor. It digs it down in the mud or the sand and holds it there so that it doesn't move. And these things, we're going to use the spiritual analogies along the way as we go here. But we are on a journey toward heaven, and there is no dock that we can tie down to, no concrete pillar that we're going to wrap our rope or chain around to be docked. So we need an anchor. And it's not like it takes a storm to need an anchor. You need an anchor in other times, as we just talked about here. And so we can tend to get blown off course if we don't have something to hold us in place. And we're just kind of drifting with whatever comes along in life, and we don't really have something solid to anchor our life on, we're suddenly at the mercy of the waves. And we're somewhat at the mercy of the waves even with an anchor. But as the storms come on our life, or we have circumstances that seem a little bit unsteady and we don't know how it's all going to turn out, we have one thing. We're back here at Hebrews 6 again. God promised us and gave an oath on top of it to say, I'm here. You have hope. Just put your hope and trust in me, and it's going to be okay. So one of the things that's important about anchoring is drifting is very dangerous, especially if you're around other boats or in a spot where you could wake up. Let's say you decide you want to go to sleep for a while. You wake up and you're way off course or way far from where you wanted to be anchored, near an island or whatever it is that you had. And not just that we're drifting off course and we could get tangled up and hit into other ships, but another thought that I had in relation to this is that sometimes we say, well, we kind of look around and see what everybody else is doing, and we kind of gauge by what they're doing, and maybe their ship's headed, and, well, they're going that direction, and theirs is kind of turned to the right or to the left, and maybe I should be turning my boat that way. If we don't have anything solid to anchor to, of course, we know that a lot of the sailors gauge by the stars, the sun, and the moon to navigate, but we need to have some way of knowing where we're headed, where we are, where we're, we need to have a constant in life. And of course, God's word is what keeps us on that course. We have some verses here in Galatians, Galatians chapter 1, that talk a little bit about this, how people can get so far off course if they don't have a solid foundation, a solid place to anchor to. Here in Galatians 1 verses 6 to 8 says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel of heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So if we're trying to gauge by what other churches are doing, by what other people are doing, and that's where we have our hope is in everyone else, we're kind of trusting them to figure out our life. We're not reading our Bible. We're not figuring out our own, working out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling, as the Bible says. Then suddenly we're again at the mercy of the waves and kind of can get blown off course. And I'm just going to keep coming back to this. We only need one anchor. We only have the hope in Jesus as the only anchor that we have. Because so many things, friends can let us down. Circumstances don't turn out the way we think they should. We have sickness that comes along and ruins our day or our year or several years. And we go through difficult circumstances in life, and maybe our finances don't turn out quite the way we had hoped they would, and many different things. All of these things happened to Job, and he was one person that I thought of in relation to having hope. That was the one thing that he never gave up on. And I ran across this quote. It says, "The human spirit can endure the loss of anything except hope." And that sounds pretty dramatic, but I think we've all read enough books of people that were living in North Korea, let's say, or they were imprisoned for their faith, or we read in the Martyr's Mirror about people that watched their children being tortured and killed, and then they came for them and said, "Don't you want to give up on this faith? I mean, look what happened to your family." And how do those people endure that? Well, the only way is a hope in Jesus. A hope that there's a better life, something beyond this life that's worth living for. A couple verses that's kind of in relation to this. I'll just read you. You don't need to turn to this one. Proverbs 18, verse 14. And you all can turn to Philippians 4. And I'll get to that as well. This is what it says in Proverbs 18, verse 14. "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" So this is kind of pointing to that thing that if you have lost hope and your spirit is wounded, there's not much else to turn to. Now for Philippians 4. And I make no apologies for having scripture. I think sometimes we like to just sit and listen and not turn in our Bibles, but this is the only anchor that we have, so let's use it. So Philippians 4, verse 11 to 13 says, "Not that I speak in respect of want." This was Paul. He had literally been on a shipwreck, okay? So we talk about people that are tossed around and sick and not eating and worried, and we could talk about him for a little bit. But he's talking about all the different circumstances he faced. He had a rough time of it. "Not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So he doesn't have the word hope in here, but you can see it all through those verses that he had a hope in Jesus. Christ is the one that strengthened him. He didn't lose hope in spite of, so sometimes he had plenty to eat and other times he didn't. Sometimes he was warm and sometimes he was very warm and sometimes he was cold and very cold. And all of these things happened to him and he didn't give up hope. And we also see, like I say, I just want to point out, in Job's life, he had lost everything. None of us have experienced what Job has experienced. And we can lose something, we lose some money here and there in a business transaction, or something doesn't quite turn out the way we think it should, and suddenly we're kind of down and discouraged and disappointed about it. And I'm just sure that I wouldn't be like Job, that just, he just said, the Lord gave, the Lord takes away. It makes it look so easy. I'm just amazed by Job, let's say it that way. Especially, I really depend a lot on my wife. So if my wife said, curse God and die, I would say, you know what, you're right. Let's just forget this whole mess. But the people that have lost hope, the people that have given up hope are in that spot. They suddenly are very vulnerable to a lot of different things. They will turn to drugs and drinking and join a gang to have some sort of meaning and purpose. When you're at the bottom, you'll accept just about anything. And obviously, the other thing that's kind of in that is curse God and die. Just end it all. That's going to be the best. Let's just go with that. And that's when all hope is gone, those kind of options come to your mind. But if we have a hope in Jesus, those things won't be a temptation to us, or at least not nearly as much of one. And our anchor, as we keep talking about here, our anchor needs to be in God's word. I thought of the verse in Colossians 1, verse 23. It's just across the page here. Colossians 1, 23 says, and if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, this is our anchor. And I would like to think of faith as the chain. I didn't mention that here earlier. Hope is the anchor, but faith is the chain that kind of holds the anchor. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in sufferings for you. And he continues on, but the main part I wanted is that you're grounded and settled. So I'd like to think about faith here a little bit and how it ties in with hope. In my research about anchors and things, one of the important parts is the chain. And I did some research just because we, at least as men, we like to be impressed by big things. And some of the largest ships are aircraft carriers and cruise ships, and some of the, and of course, the one that's down here in Baltimore that's kind of stationary. We'll get to that in a little bit too. But these are huge ships that carry millions of pounds, hundreds of thousands of tons of weight, and they need something to hold them fast. And the largest ships actually rely on the friction and weight of the chain to do some of the holding as well. So some of the biggest anchors are around 60,000 pounds, which I can't even put my mind around. I should have looked up the dimensions. Maybe that would have helped me. That's just a huge anchor. But then on top of that, a lot of these large ships also have a large amount of chain. And there's generally about 1,000 feet of chain, roughly. 1,080 is, well, they're actually in 90-foot sections, typically, and they have a collared link every 90 feet so that they know how far they're, how much chain is left out. Of course, I guess they could judge by how much is left, but most of these, they put it down. The chain just piles up a little bit like we put chain in a bucket. It's a little bit the same way. They have a great big spot when it's pulling it up with the winch. It's just going down in. But the chain, each of these links is about 300 pounds just for one link. And there are about 57 links in a 90-foot section. There are 12 90-foot sections. You do the math on that. Now you have 205,200 pound of chain, which takes several tractor and trailer loads of chain. You're not going to legally haul that much chain in one trailer. Just a huge amount of chain. But the friction of that chain against the seabed helps when a big wave comes along and tries to move the ship. That friction, as well as the anchor, holds it there. And I think about our faith. as being that chain. It's great to have a wonderful anchor, but if we have just a little wee rope or we don't have much chain left out and we're just right above and a big wave comes along, it's going to jerk the anchor right up out of the sand and we're going to be loose and adrift again. And these big ships take hours to start up and get powered up and going. It's not like suddenly you wake up and back to the ship in Baltimore. It's not like you can at the last minute make a quick correction and suddenly it fixes the problem. It takes a long time to change things around with the ship. The other thing about the length of the chain is that it accounts for the waves and tides and things moving back and forth. That's kind of like the shock absorber. So the boat is kind of moves toward the chain a little bit. It moves to the side a little bit. But with our anchor chain in Christ, it's always going to pull us back to the middle. In other words, sometimes in our life we get hit by a storm and we move off and we're not quite centered in God's word. We're not quite lined up where we should be. But God is there to help us. And we have friends and family to help us come back to the center as well. But these are things that help us. I have a verse here in 1 Timothy about chapter 1, verse 19. 1 Timothy 1, verse 19 says, holding faith and a good conscience with some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. So this is kind of where we get the idea that faith is one of the things that holds us in place. And I thought it was interesting that the word shipwreck is right in there. So we're talking about anchors, we're talking about chain, we're talking about shipwreck. It's right here. So the chain breaking is just as serious as not having a good anchor. And so faith and hope need to go together. And once the chain breaks, once we lose faith or our anchor pulls loose, then Satan's basically in control of our ship. And many people have made shipwreck. It says here in verse 20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. So he just moves right into the shipwreck and talks about two men that just lost their faith and made shipwreck. So we are not on solid ground yet. Our boat is not docked. And I'd like to think just a little bit of the future. We have heaven as our dock, so to speak. And then we won't need our ship anymore either. And this is where we're getting back to the story of the ship in Baltimore. Everybody knows about the bridge that went down in Baltimore. You know, I'll know what I'm talking about there. But one of the interesting things is, even if that ship were docked in America right now, those men legally could not get off of that ship. There are a whole bunch of things that, for whatever reason, most of the time, those men don't even bring their passport with them because they don't plan on getting off. There's people that come on the ship and drive it into the harbor and into the dock, and the tugboats and everything do all the last minute work. But those men live on that ship the whole time it's there, and right now they are sitting on that ship and may not be off for several more weeks. And I'm sure they're going to make some sort of exception. But in most cases, they don't have a passport, and even beyond that, they need some other paperwork, supposedly for, I don't know if it's vaccinations or what, it could be anything, but there are other things that keep them from just walking off the ship and being here. So we do need a passport when we get to heaven, I guess, but we have our hope in Jesus. So when we reach heaven, we don't need a boat. Everything will be solid. And in this life, we think about everything that we could anchor to. Well, you say, hey, you know what? We can have something tied to, and there's an earthquake comes along, as we saw over in New Jersey and New York. So suddenly everything's moving. What we thought was solid is not as solid as we think. The other thing that we won't need is faith and hope. I think the of the charity chapter there, where he says the greatest of these is charity. One of the reasons the greatest is love will continue in heaven, a love for God. But once we've experienced heaven, once we're there, we don't need faith because faith becomes sight, I believe one of our songs talks about. And it also talks about that we don't need to hope anymore because our hope is realized. We have heaven as our home and our reward. And I didn't pick a song this morning because I picked one for the closing of the service. I want to actually sing the song, It Will Be Worth It All, from Zion's Praises 418. We can turn to that later. But I just thought about here in closing, I want to read the song that's not in our book, and that is Will Your Anchor Hold? And this comes, we're all familiar with this song. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? It is safely moored, 'twill the storm withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand, and the cables passed from his heart to mine can defy that blast through strength divine. It will firmly hold in the strains of fear when the breakers have told the reef is near. Though the tempests rave and the wild winds blow, not an angry wave shall our bark o'erflow. It will surely hold in the floods of death when the waters cold chill our latest breath. On the rising tide it can never fail while our hopes abide within the veil. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Let's kneel for prayer.